Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, the life-changing drug Kaftrio is approved for 35 children who were considered outside a deal with the drugs company. We'll speak to the man responsible for negotiating on behalf of the state. €96 per primary school child for school books. But will it be enough? Adam Maguire on the fiery family business feuds that have gripped us past and present. Dr. Harry Barry has more advice on the aftermath of relationship breakups. And when one person in the family is in the throes of addiction, it impacts everyone in the household. Today, Marion Rackard and Frances Black tell us about the damage it can cause and the help available. Our text number is 51551. Email todaycb at rte.ie or on Twitter, we're at Today with Claire. As we heard in the news bulletin, it does look increasingly likely now that the government could win that Dáil vote this afternoon on ending the no-fault eviction ban after reaching an agreement with some members of the regional independent group. The coalition has promised to introduce safety net measures for renters to keep the support of the opposition. The amendments were outlined in a counter-motion response to Sinn Féin's motion to extend the eviction ban. Well, here to tell us where we are at this morning is Elaine Loughlin, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Examiner. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Claire.
So let's get the lay of the land here. Who of the regional independent group looks likely to support the government now?
Yes, well, we do know that the majority of demands that that independent group put forward on Monday night has been accepted by the government, in broad strokes at least, while members of that group are still looking for reassurance on the finer details. It does appear that a good chunk of them will now vote with the government, having got those measures over the line. The likes of Michael Lowry, he's already come out and said he's likely to vote with the government. On the other hand, we have Peter Fitzpatrick saying that he is more than likely to go in the other direction and vote against government. And then you have Cathal Berry, Sean Canny, Dennis Nocton, Verona Murphy, all people who've previously voted to support the government on various votes, likely to go with the government again. But I think especially when it comes to the likes of Verona Murphy and Sean Canny, they were asking for further confirmation around when their measures will be introduced by the government, and they want an immediacy of action from the government.
Okay, and we'll speak to Verona Murphy in just a moment. Now, the members of the Rural Independent Group, they proposed the amendments to the counter motion. They said they'd need to be incorporated before they could consider supporting it. And as you say, some of them are satisfied. What are the main items on their agenda?
Yeah, well, it was a set of eight asks or eight demands, whatever way you want to phrase it, Claire, that were put forward on Monday evening. A number of them focused around the Croí Cónaithe scheme. That's a recent enough grant that was launched by government to help property owners do up their properties or refurbish properties to bring them back into use. That scheme will now be expanded. It will include newer properties that were built up to the year 2007. It will allow people who want to refurbish properties to then rent them out, avail of these grants. And up until now, you had to be an owner-occupier to get the funding. And also, the grant rates will be reviewed. Now, what that regional independent group had said was the funding, which is up to €50,000 of a grant for some homeowners, doesn't really cut it. It's not enough. It doesn't tally with the cost of construction at the moment, and they want those grants significantly increased. Now, no date set on that review, so I think that will be probably something that those groups of independents want to hammer out before they give their vote to government.
Okay, and then going back to the machinations of this, and when it comes to the vote, Violet Ann Wynne, the independent TD, saying last night that she intends to dissolve her pairing with Minister Helen McEntee, who's on maternity leave, so that Violet can vote against the government's counter motion. What has happened there, Elaine?
Yeah, well, this is a special deal that was agreed between Viola Anwyn, independent TD, former Sinn Féin TD, with the minister, because she obviously, as we know, is on maternity leave. Viola Anwyn has said that after being in contact with a number of people in her constituency who are now facing eviction when this eviction ban is lifted, that she couldn't keep up that agreement. It is a bit of an ad hoc agreement because, as we know, there are no official arrangements in place for a member of government, for a minister, if they do have a child and go on maternity leave while in office. So maybe it's for another day, Claire, but it probably is an issue that the government has to look at again to put in official facilities for ministers and members, office holders, to take maternity leave.
And we don't know yet whether Green Party TD Patrick Costello is going to join his colleague Nasa Harrigan in voting with Sinn Féin on this.
We don't. He hasn't spoken publicly, at least, on it. But the indications we're getting is he has perhaps suggested that because the vote, the Sinn Féin motion, is non-binding, it won't result in a U-turn from government when it comes to the lifting of the eviction ban, that he may decide to side in this case. While it'll be a difficult decision, you'd imagine, he may side with the government on this one. So that will give them one more of an advantage over Sinn Féin.
All right, Elaine, I want to bring in Verona Murphy, independent TD for Wexford, a member of the regional independent group that we've just been discussing. Thanks for speaking to us this morning. As it stands today, have you decided, are you voting with or against the government?
Good morning, Claire. Well, I'm actually waiting to have a meeting with Minister O'Brien, which will take place sometime after 12 o'clock today. And central to that discussion is there is a number 8, as we call it, in our amendment, discusses viability. And as you'll know, because it's been discussed for a long time, that we have 70,000 housing units with grants of planning permission that have not commenced because of viability. And that, for me, there's guidelines to be produced. This is the issue I have. I have asked the minister for a number of months now for the guidelines. I'm told they're to be published next week. I'm afraid that's not good enough. I'm going to need to see them today to assess the bona fides of government being able to implement our amendment.
And what's
key.
What would sort that out for you? You're saying that the state should pay developers to fulfil the planning permissions?
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely not. That would be an insane notion. That would be absolutely insane. I mean, the taxpayer is not on the hook for supplying housing. The reality is that we have developers because of the government's planning policy, which are the guidelines that dictate high density situations and building apartments. And it's a one size fits all across the country. So whilst that may be appropriate in Dublin, it certainly is not appropriate in rural counties such as Wexford. Building apartments today, it can cost upwards of €245,000 without site cost to build a two-bedroom apartment. It therefore can't be sold for less than €345,000, and it's not affordable.
Right.
If it can't be sold, and it's not, then it's not viable to build.
So what are you looking for? I'm just not clear what you want.
What I'm looking for is delivery on supply. After all, that's the issue. I mean, we're not going to fix our problems in the morning, but we are certainly not going to fix them if we don't have the planning policy that moves and drives supply and delivery on supply.
But what do you want the minister to do? I mean, these developers have decided it's not viable for them to fulfil these planning permissions that they've been granted.
Yeah, and the reason for that, Claire, is that there is guidelines currently that dictate 35 dwellings per hectare across the country. But in Wexford, that is a very, very high density. It may work in Dublin. It does not work in rural counties. They have to be brought back within a range of down to as low as 20, and may in some cases rise to as high as 50, depending on the site and the setting. But it cannot be currently there's a rigidity there that is preventing commencement, and this is why supply is not happening.
So you want him to alter the planning permissions that have already been granted to lower density?
That's possible. Yeah, no, if we have new guidelines which are supposed to have come on stream, the minister told me I would have them 3 weeks ago. I don't have them. Without seeing what's contained in the guidelines, I cannot assess the bona fide of government being able to implement the amendments that are very constructive in nature from the regional independent group. Many of them will deal with housing from the perspective of existing supply, the Croí Chonaí, the fact that we will, the rent room scheme will be expanded, but ultimately we don't have enough existing supply, and in order to prevent evictions, particularly no-fault evictions in the future, we have to deal with the supply issue.
So if that box is ticked, you're in, you're on the government side.
If that box is ticked, I will certainly, I'll need to see them, certainly. And if I don't see them, you know, I can only take it that the bona fides isn't there.
Okay.
There's no reason why I shouldn't see them. The construction industry has their conference going on, and they've announced on radio this morning they're to be issued next week. I believe if government want my support, I should be able to appraise those guidelines.
All right. Well, Verona, stay with us if you can, because I'm joined now by John Mark McCafferty, who's CEO of the housing charity Threshold, and Hugh Brennan, who is CEO of O'Coolan Co-Housing Alliance. And Hugh is with me here in the studio. You're very welcome. And John, Mark, welcome to you as well. Now, Hugh, you're looking at this from a particular perspective as head of an association that builds and provides affordable housing. Do you think it's a good idea to lift this eviction ban at the end of this month?
No, we don't. We think that it's a very blunt instrument in the first place, and that you would only use it in dire emergency. So because it was decided to use it and it's supported by Focus and others, I believe it should have been left in place until everything else is there to help the tenants when they are evicted.
So how long would that be?
I would say 3 months now, and it's a short period of time. But for my sins, I spent 3 hours yesterday listening to the housing committee, and like, there's some very interesting things happening, like in terms of approved housing bodies being able to buy houses from people who are over the social housing threshold. That needs a few weeks. You know, when the TDs ask the department how long is that going to take, they say it's going to take a few weeks. Now, we've less than 2 weeks to the end of the month when we stop the eviction ban. So I would have said extend it till the end of June. And by then, I think there would be sufficient safeguards in place to help the tenants.
So you have Verona Murphy there on the line. You heard what she's going to say. You know, if that box is ticked for her on unused planning permissions, that she will vote with the government. Are you saying that people like Verona perhaps are making a mistake?
I'm not. I mean, you know, I've read or I've tried to read what the independents are saying, and I believe, you know, I trust in their bona fides, and I actually trust in the bona fides of the government as well, because I do believe that you have to give credit where it's due, and that a number of things have been done. But from my perspective, I would say that if a family falls into homelessness because you don't have these other things in place that would help them, well, then you're ending the eviction ban too soon. That's just my opinion.
Okay. And John Mark, in Threshold, are you getting ready now for an inevitable rise in homelessness in the next few weeks?
We are, clear, and if you look at our web chats, for example, we had over 700 web chats in November just as the eviction ban came in, and we're heading for around that number this month as people are anticipating the eviction ban ending. We've also had an increase in general queries about tenancy termination, people who are renting but they're worried about losing their home. We're anticipating about 160 of these by the end of the month. So the various ways in which people can contact Threshold show a sustained increase over the last month as people who are renting are kind of anticipating what might be around the corner. We've also a lot of live cases from, you know, from the autumn and the winter, and, you know, those where those tenancy terminations, the notices were given, and those processes will re-trigger from the 1st of April at different stages.
And these concessions, the amendments that we've heard about that have been won by the Rural Independence Group, do you have any hope that they're going to provide the safeguards needed?
I think for ourselves, you know, the kind of safeguards needed include obviously supply of the likes of cost rental housing and overall supply of social housing. We also, alongside a number of like-minded NGOs, recommended various solutions that might go some way to alleviating the crisis. And an example that you've mentioned, I think, there, the purchase with tenant in situ to accelerate that. and to expand it beyond just those who might be currently eligible to those who to a kind of a cost rental situation. So you're making more people eligible further up the income scale.
Hugh, just in terms of your own work, I know that you come in contact with people who we might not hear about in terms of the statistics when we're talking about homeless people, the hidden homeless. Tell us about those people. Where are they?
Yeah, so I mean, like it's really interesting in the census in 2016, there's a figure there that 458,000 adult children were living with parents. That's something that I hadn't come across until very recently. And we did a little bit more work on that, and we find that that has increased to well over 500,000 now. And that's an interesting statistic. Over 450,000 adult children living with their parents. So that.
Like, it's extraordinary,
isn't it extraordinary? Like, we were really taken aback by it, and it's there in the census from the CSO. So yes, we come across people who are living with parents, families who are divided, while a daughter might be living with her parents and the son with the other parents. People who are couch surfing. All of that. We don't come directly in contact with the people that John Mark comes in contact with, because we're looking at a different cohort.
Okay. And Verona, just coming back to you on what you said there at the beginning, that if it was given an extra 3 months, he reckons so much could be done and we wouldn't be in the situation that John Mark is expecting in April. What do you say to that?
And depending on what the guidelines entail, I can't really agree or disagree, but I do believe if the guidelines are such that they do not encourage supply, and we just to bear in mind, it's difficult to understand, but if the viability issue is addressed in the guidelines, the 70,000 grants of planning can commence and the guideline issue can be taken care of whilst commencement is going on. That's the real issue. We can actually get shovel ready in the morning if the guidelines are an appropriate fit. If the guidelines are not, we are going to be in this position for sure this time next year and the year after, and it would not be appropriate to lift the eviction ban because we are not going to deal with the supply issue, which it's universally agreed that the main issue is housing supply.
Hugh, can I get your take on those viable or unviable planning permissions that Verona is referring to, the 70,000?
Yeah, look, it is a really tricky one, and we know from our own experience that building apartments at the moment is unviable. So we are building apartments, but they're going to be bought by another approved housing body for older persons, or they're going
You've
to be
placed on hold. Or they're going.
Or they're going to be on.
Just a little bit of interference, but carry on.
Sorry.
Yeah,
they're going to be used for cost rental. Now, what Rona's talking about are an awful lot of planning permissions that are outstanding by say institutional investors or private developers, and their specific plannings, as you think alluded to earlier on. If you need to change those, you need something in place to be able to do that. Now, in fact, one of our directors was only talking to me about this the other day, and she's thinking of proposing something where you would have a fast track planning system to reduce those, because if they are built to less standards, they're not really suitable. They need to be build to sell standards, and then maybe something could be done. But I would also agree with your point that I do not believe that we should be putting taxpayers' money into the pockets of private developers in order to assist them in this.
So what should happen?
So it's a tricky one. I don't know. It is a very tricky one. Like,
well, what's the minister going to say to Verona today about this to solve it or to get us anywhere?
Well, maybe he can say that they will look at these planning permissions and have some kind of fast track thing in there, and that the developers on their side will agree that these will be used for cost rental or whatever.
Clear.
But sorry, Verona, but you are still always in. And what worries me about this is that you are allowing the private sector to set the price for affordable apartments, and you shouldn't do that, because that's always going to go to the top of the market and it's going to push prices up. So it is a tricky one.
Verona, go ahead.
But just to say, this isn't something that just came to mind last week when we were settling amendments. What was in mind when putting the amendment forward is that the minister, I particularly have been requesting these guidelines for 12 months. I've been promised them, they're coming, they're drafted. I still don't have them. And I think it is fundamental to the bona fides of government looking to deliver on housing. And if they don't suit the model that will make current projects viable, it's just not going to happen.
I just don't know how you do that, because Michael O'Flynn, the developer, was on the programme last week, Verona, and he questioned how many of those planning permissions, the ones you're referring to, the unused ones, shouldn't have been granted in the first place, because there's no way to make them viable without throwing money at developers.
Well, no, that strictly speaking, it is not true. If the densities are appropriate for the setting in which they will go for sale, densities in Wexford where people require front and back gardens, they're not looking to live in apartments. They're not able to buy apartments. Many of them that we're talking about on eviction basis can't afford mortgages. They certainly can't afford a two-bed apartment at €300,000. The reality is the guidelines will absolutely, if they are appropriate, encourage supply.
Okay.
We may not get all 70,000 on commencement, but we certainly should get a good portion. And if they're fitting, this should deal with our supply issue going
forward. All right,
we'll
wait and see how your meeting goes with the Minister today. Verona Murphy, thank you for joining us. And Mark McCafferty and also Hugh Brennan from O'Coolan Housing Alliance, Co-Housing Alliance. Now, Elaine Loughlin is still on the line from The Examiner. Elaine, I want to ask you about something completely different now. This is the Taoiseach's comments yesterday when he said violent biological males shouldn't be put into women's prisons if they're found to have broken the law. Now, he was asked about his opinion and views on the sentencing of the transgender inmate Barbie Kardashian. What exactly did he say?
Yes, as you said, Claire, the case of Barbie Kardashian's prison sentence handed down to Barbie Kardashian of 5.5 years after threatening to torture and rape her mother. He basically said he obviously wasn't fully aware of the exact details of that case, so wasn't willing to make any comment on that case. But he did say that perhaps the law does need to change to protect female prisoners. He mentioned that there were similar cases in Scotland and it was necessary that the law was changed there, and perhaps this is something that needs to be addressed and needs to be looked at in this country. He said he would be speaking with Justice Minister Simon Harris about the case and about the issues that such cases raise and whether the government needs to act on it.
Okay, and we're likely, I'm sure, to have Simon Harris asked questions about that, given what you've just said, Elaine. Thank you very much. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE.